Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you on this Thursday to talk about books. I have titled this episode Fantastical, which I actually had to double check and make sure that was a real word, because I do like to make up words, you know, where you just make a word into an adjective or an adverb. And fantastical really is a word, probably not quite in the way that I'm using it, because I have three books, two of which are definitely in the fantasy genre, one of which is sort of in the fantasy genre, so I included it under this title. And I just really like the way some words sound, and fantastical is one of them, so fantastical. It's fantastically fantastical. And these books are about fantasy. So fantastically fantastical fantasy, that word has now ceased to have any meaning to me whatsoever. Let's move on. So I hope your week has been going well, that you are looking forward to a good weekend. Before you get to that weekend, let's talk about some books. And the first one I'm going to start with, all three of these books are books that I have recently finished listening to on audiobook. As I've mentioned before, I am catching up on my to-be-read list of books that are not featured on the podcast with interviews, often by listening to them on audiobook as I commute, as I work out, as I run errands, all of those good things. So I'm definitely helpful to catch up in that way. The first book that I'm going to talk about is another book by Rick Riordan, and I've talked about him before. This is the third in his Gods of Asgard trilogy, and it is Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard, Book 3, The Ship of the Dead. I say trilogy, they definitely leave it open for further books, although they wrapped up this segment. So I think it is a trilogy, but I'm hoping that there might be more in the series. Before we get too far into this, let me give you the description of the book. Magnus Chase, a once homeless teen, is a resident of the Hotel Valhalla and one of Odin's chosen warriors. As the son of Frey, the god of summer, fertility, and health, Magnus isn't naturally inclined to fighting. But he has strong and steadfast friends, including Hearthstone the Elf, Blitzen the Dwarf, and Samira the Valkyrie. And together they have achieved brave deeds such as defeating Fenris Wolf and battling giants for Thor's hammer. Mjolnir. I think that's what it is. Mjolnir. I should know that. I listened to the book. They said it a bunch of times. But now Magnus faces his most dangerous trial yet. His cousin Annabeth recruits her boyfriend Percy Jackson to give Magnus some pointers, but will his training be enough? Loki is free from his chains. He's readying Nalgafar, the ship of the dead, complete with a host of giants and zombies, to sail against the Asgardian gods and begin the final battle of Ragnarok. It's up to Magnus and his friends to stop him, but to do so they will have to sail across the oceans of Midgard, Jotunheim, and Niflheim in a desperate race to reach Nagelfar before it's ready to sail. Along the way, they will face angry sea gods, hostile giants, and an evil, fire-breathing dragon. Magnus's biggest challenge will be facing his own inner demons. Does he have what it takes to outwit the wily trickster god? So it is, as I said, the third in this series and kind of completes this trilogy, although definitely leaves it open for more books with these characters. And I hope that there will be more books because I do enjoy the characters. There is actually a series of short stories called Tales of the Nine Worlds, I believe, that has friends of Magnus's and stories of them going to different different worlds of the nine worlds, and I have not read that yet. So that will give me more stories of these characters. But this one is kind of wrapping up the trilogy. It came out in, oh, that's funny. I'm looking on Amazon, and it said that it came out on April 2nd, 2019. Wow, we're in the future, people. I'm going to assume that's a typo, or there's something, maybe the paperback is coming out and it was just the audio, the hardback? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's out, and you can buy it or check it out at your library or listen to it on audiobook or however you wish to do it. It is available. I'm going to try not to give too many spoilers in case you haven't read it, although that was a very descriptive description that gave maybe a few spoilers, but this is continuing in the Gods of Asgard series. One of the things that I like about Rick Riordan, I think Percy Jackson, that series is still my favorite, but he started with Percy Jackson, and that is the Greek gods, and then he did a series on the Egyptian gods, and then they crossed over. There was a couple of short stories where those characters crossed over, and I loved that. Then there was a second series involving Percy, and we found out that there were also Roman gods and Roman demigods. And so there was that series. Now we have Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard, and you knew pretty much from the beginning that there was going to be crossover because Annabeth appeared, and Annabeth and Magnus have the same last name, Chase. They are cousins. So you still get that whole Percy Jackson universe if you love that series. But you get different gods, and it's really interesting to see the way that Riordan puts things together and explains, you know, how all the different gods are still existing and how that works in terms of, well, there's multiple sea gods, so how does that work? And how do they exist all on the same plane of existence, or however you want to explain it? So I really like that he keeps crossing over, having crossovers between these series, and I'm excited and interested to see where that goes. One thing that I will say about this audiobook series, and I've listened to all three of them on an audiobook, is that all three of them have a different narrator, which I don't like. And I understand that things happen and you have to go with what you have sometimes. But to me, it's really distracting especially because I listened to the first two again before I listened to the third one, just to refresh my memory on the story. And having three different narrators means that all the characters have different voices, and it's jarring when you switch from one to the next, and you have to get used to what character sounds like what and how you already had something else in your head. So for me, that definitely bugged me. A few things that I liked. I like the story. I like Magnus as a character. I really like a lot of the secondary characters. You know, he's surrounded by friends who have a different sets of skills, which is great because then they all work together. His friend Samira is a Valkyrie, and she's also Muslim, which is a really interesting combination. And in this book, it's Ramadan, so she is dealing with being a Valkyrie in service to Norse gods, but also being a devout Muslim who is practicing and participating in Ramadan, which means that she fasts until sundown and she can't do other certain things, but they're on a quest. So she has to figure out how that works and how to maintain her devout faith in this. And I really love that he brought that in because it gives you, gives the reader a different insight, maybe into Islam, maybe into Ramadan. Maybe they didn't fully understand what that meant. And it's interesting to me the way she balances being both Muslim and the daughter of Loki, a Norse god. And I love that. Another character that I appreciate is Alex, who appeared in the second book and is again in this one. Alex is gender fluid, meaning some days she identifies as female, and some days he identifies as male, is female, not only identifies, but is. And Alex always says, "Today I am male. My pronouns are his and he," which I like because there's definite clarity and Alex is not afraid of setting those boundaries and saying, this is who I am. These are my pronouns. You as my friends need to respect me as I am. And I love that Riordan is so inclusive in his writing. Although I have read critiques of that people are upset. I actually have a friend who doesn't, not just this book, but is kind of annoyed in general that every TV show, every book series now has to have an LGBTQ, there's more letters that have been added on now, character, because he says that's not realistic. And I say, okay, but I am not, I'm a massive flaming introvert. I don't have, I mean, I have friends and I have a group of friends, but it's not like I have a huge sprawling group of friends. And yet within that small group of friends, for me, the introvert, I have friends who are gay. I have friends who are transgender. I have friends who are bi. I have friends who are asexual. I have friends that run the gamut of the LGBT community. And so if I know that many people who are in that community, then yes, I want to see them represented. Obviously, they are out there and you probably know many as well. So why shouldn't they be represented? So anyway, I'm not really going to be on my soapbox too much about that, but I personally appreciate the representation and the way Riordan includes so many different types of people from different walks of life and different religious backgrounds, different backgrounds of all kinds. And for me, I like that, especially because these are young adult books. And so for young adults to see themselves represented in these stories is really, really important and really wonderful. I enjoyed the book. I liked the way things were wrapped up. I felt like they were wrapped up for this section of the story, but definitely left room for more story. I want to know. There were a few things that could take off in a couple of different directions, and so I want to know about those things, and I want to spend more time with these characters. The only critique I have as for the series as a whole is, in terms of the audiobooks, three different narrators. Not my favorite thing. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be moving on to our second book of the podcast. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back. Hi, this is Sarah, host of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. As not only the host of a book review podcast, but also someone who loves to read, I get excited when I get to recommend books for you, and I have one of those today. The New York Times bestselling author of Hoot, Carl Hiaasen, is back with Squirm, a wildly entertaining, slightly twisted new adventure about snakes, grizzly bears, a spy drone, a missing dad, and knowing when and when not to let things go. Squirm is recommended for readers ages 8 through 12, so if you have someone in your life who might enjoy this book, or someone in your life who you already know loves Carl Hiaasen, maybe you love to read together as a family. Whether you're already fans or you're looking for something new to read, I can definitely recommend Squirm by Carl Hiaasen. Support for this message comes from Random House Children's Books, and Squirm is available now wherever books are sold. Hello and welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am talking about fantastical books today. Started out talking about the third Magnus Chase book in that series, and now I'm moving on to another children's slash young adult, even adult fantasy book. This one actually is from 2012, and just the name alone gives it a fantastical quality. Are you ready for this? You might want to sit down because it's rather lengthy. It's going to take a while. The book is called The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making Yes, that is the title. The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making. And it is by Catherine M. Valente. And as I said, it came out in 2012. A couple of years ago, I was looking for new authors, new books to read. And so I put out on Facebook, you know, what are you reading right now? What are your favorite books? Who are your favorite authors, etc.? And my friend Cami, who has actually been on this podcast, Camille Greep, if you haven't read her books, you definitely need to look her up and go read them. She recommended this book. And I was like, yes, I need to read this book. Just the name alone makes me want to read this book. And then I'm embarrassed to say that one thing led to another, and I did not get to it until just in the last month. And I am sad about that because I should have read it sooner. It is fabulous. It is so interestingly written. And it's read by the author on the audiobook that I listened to. So she, you know, obviously she knows what she was thinking when she wrote and how things should be phrased. And so I don't know if that's part of it, but just the way she writes and the way she describes things, the title even gives you some of that. She's certainly not dumbing anything down. I mean, the title includes the word circumnavigated. So there are, you know, lots of great vocab words. And September, that's the main character, is a reader. So she uses words that she knows from books. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me tell you what the book is about. Let me give you the description. 12-year-old September lives in Omaha and used to have an ordinary life until her father went to war and her mother went to work. One day, September is met at her kitchen window by a green wind, taking the form of a gentleman in a green jacket, who invites her on an adventure, implying that her help is needed in Fairyland. The new Marquess is unpredictable and fickle, and also not much older than September. Only September can retrieve a talisman the Marquess wants from the Enchanted Woods, and if she doesn't, then the Marquess will make life impossible for the inhabitants of Fairyland. September is already making new friends, including a book-loving wyvern and a mysterious boy named Saturday. And this actually has illustrations. Obviously, I listened to the audiobook, so I missed the illustrations, but the artist is Anna Wan, and I've seen some of them online, and they are very, very well-suited to the book and very beautiful. So, yes, September is 12, and she lives in Omaha, and it's during World War II. That's never specified, but you pretty much get that impression because there are radios and newsreels about the war, and her mom goes to work in an airplane factory after because there aren't enough men. So, you know, all those clues point you in the right direction. September is, you know, kind of an ordinary girl, but she's read books about fairies, and when the opportunity arrives in the form of the Green Wind, who comes and asks her if she wants to go to Fairyland, she says yes. And then, of course, she has an adventure, and there is a quest and an adversary. She makes friends. All of those good elements of a fantasy novel are in there. And I said that the writing was amazing. Just every way Valente crafts a sentence was amazing to me. Now, I can't even tell you what it was about the writing that was so interesting, so beautiful, so well crafted. And this is probably why I'm not a writer myself, because I can't come up with the proper words to get my meaning across. But it is just very well written. Okay, so first of all, it's a very long title. The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making. All of the chapter titles are even longer. So there might be, you know, so let's pretend that that is the chapter title. The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making, in which September XYZ 1, 2, 3, and it kind of outlines what the chapter is going to cover. So the chapters are, you know, they're very descriptive. The chapter titles are very descriptive, and it's just a fun book. September is your kind of ordinary, not ordinary, atypical, but typical heroine. She faces things she never expected to face, and It's one of those books where the narrator, and when you're listening to it, then the narrator is actually speaking to you, but the narrator in television would be called breaking that fourth wall. But in books, when the narrator speaks to the reader, the narrator here does that and says, now, you know, as the narrator, I know things, and you as readers know things that September or the other characters in the book do not. The description talks about the wyvern, who is actually the product of a library and a wyvern. Its father was a library, and its mother was a wyvern. And so his name is A through L, and he has siblings who are the other letters of the alphabet, and he has read everything in the library A through L. So he's an expert on certain topics, as long as they start with the correct letters. I love that. I just love all the different characters, because it is fantasy, and there are certain things that you expect from books about fairies that you've maybe read, you know, the admonition not to eat or drink while you're in fairyland. That is there, but it takes on a little bit of a twist. And characters that you have encountered in other books like this are there, but maybe they've taken on a bit of a twist. For instance, a wyvern who's, you know, like a dragon, but also is the product of a library in a wyvern. So he calls himself a wyverary. A wyverary? Is it wyvern or wyvern? I think the narrator said wyvern. I'm not actually sure I know how to pronounce that word, but he calls himself a wyverary, which I appreciated and thought was cute. Another character's grandmother is the sea. So yeah, you get September, who is human and maybe considered ordinary, but she does extraordinary things, as often happens in these books. I really loved this book. I am so happy that Cammie recommended it to me. I wish I would have listened to her sooner and taken her up on it. I am now, just yesterday, started listening to the second book, and it's a different narrator. She's good. I'm not going to say she's not. I'm not that far into it. I'm still on the first disc. So I am less than an hour into the second book, and the writing is still there. It's again, hard for me to get used to that different narrator, which I will. And then the third book, this is a series, yes, and they all have incredibly long titles and chapter titles. The second book is called The Girl Who Fell Below Fairyland and Led the Revels There, I think is the full title. I could be getting some of that mixed up. But again, I'm just going to get used to this narrator. And then the third novel, again, is narrated by the author, which makes me happy. But I'll have gotten used to S.J. Tucker, who is the narrator for this one. Yeah, I know. I have issues when it comes to my readers. I just like consistency. I apparently don't like change. But fantastical book. Really good. I really enjoyed it. And if you like fantasy, this would be a lot of fun to read with family members or for young adults to read. Even if you're an adult, then you will enjoy it. If you're a fan of fantasy, then you should definitely read this series, especially if you're a fan of just beautifully constructed prose and wordplay and all of that good stuff. So yeah, The Girl Who Fell Below, The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making by Catherine M. Valenti. When we come back, we'll have our third and final break, we're going to take a break. Let me try that again. We're going to take our second break. And when we come back, we will have our third book, which is fantastical, but maybe not fantasy. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the third segment in this fantastical episode. As I mentioned before the break, this third book is fantastical, but probably not considered fantasy, although it does have some fantasy elements to it, kind of. But I can't really tell you about that because I don't want to spoil those elements. I'm just going to jump in and give you the description. First, the book is Fanny Flagg, and you may be thinking Fanny Flagg is not a fantasy writer. You would be correct, but her books often have kind of an element of the fantastical in them, or the maybe bizarre would be a better word. This one is called The Whole Town's Talking. Came out in paperback November of 2017, and let me give you the description of that. Elmwood Springs, Missouri is a small town like any other, but something strange is happening at the cemetery. Still Meadows, as it's called, is anything but still. Original, profound, The Whole Town's Talking, a novel in the tradition of Thornton Wilder's Our Town and Flagg's own Can't Wait to Get to Heaven, tells the story of Lorder Nordstrom, his Swedish mail-order bride, Katrina, and their neighbors and descendants as they live, love, die, and carry on in mysterious and surprising ways. Lorder Nordstrom created, in his wisdom, not only a lively town and a prosperous legacy for himself, but also a beautiful final resting place for his family, friends, and neighbors yet to come. Resting place turns out to be a bit of a misnomer, however. Odd things begin to happen, and it starts the whole town talking. With her wild imagination, great storytelling, and deep understanding of folly and the human heart, the beloved Fanny Flagg tells an unforgettable story of life, afterlife, and the remarkable goings-on of an ordinary people. In The Whole Town's Talking, she reminds us that community is vital, life is a gift, and love never dies. Again, I don't want to give too much away about... I'm sure you've formulated your own opinions on what's going on at Still Meadows, but let's talk about the book in a little bit more general terms. So first off, this is the fourth novel of Flagg's that is set in the community of Elmwood Springs. I love that we've gone back. I love that we now see the origins of the town, because Lorder Nordstrom is actually the founder of the town and brought it, and so you get that backstory. But the story goes from the late 19th century through to the present, and actually a little bit into the future, because I think it's like 2021, 22 or something is the last year that gets talked about. So it's this huge expanse of time, which on the one hand is awesome because it means you get to revisit characters from the other three novels that were set in Elmwood Springs at different times, and that's great. You get some more backstory on some of the other characters that you encountered in those novels. So I love that. I kind of wish that it could have been more about that original community of Lorder and Katrina and their neighbors. You get a lot of that, but I did love a lot of the quirkiness of their characters, the just the heartfelt moments between some of those characters. And so part of me wishes that the whole novel could have been that. Another part of me loves revisiting the characters that I encountered in the other books, and I have read all of the ones that are set in Elmwood Springs. If you have not read Fanny Flagg, or even if you have read Fanny Flagg but you haven't read any of the books that are set in Elmwood Springs, this is not the place to start. First of all, it's going to be very confusing because it's so grand in scope or maybe it won't be, but I would say this is an amazing epilogue to those Elmwood Springs books. And if you've listened to me before, then you know I love an epilogue. And I always say, I want to know what the characters are doing from now until they die. And guess what? I do! This book covers hundreds of years, or over 100 years. And so you get to find out what the characters are doing. There are a few storylines that are thrown in that are interesting, but they don't really seem to have much to do with the rest of the novel, and they're characters that you haven't encountered before. So I was a little unsure as to why some of those were in there. I still enjoyed them, but you know, I was kind of like, get back to the characters I know and want to know more about. So this is not the place to start. As I said, if you have not read the other Elmwood Springs, you'll definitely get spoilers about the characters and things that happen in those novels. If you don't have a problem with that, then cool, start here. But if you have read the Elmwood Springs books and enjoyed them and want to know more about some of your favorite characters, then yes, this is the epilogue for you. And it is a, I don't know, 300 or so page epilogue. Again, with the narrator, she was very good. I enjoyed her. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. Let me look that up. Some of the other books have been read by Fanny Flagg, which is great. I do enjoy when authors narrate their books, you know, depending on the author, and she's very good. I didn't have a problem with this one not being narrated by Fanny Flagg, maybe because I hadn't just listened to any others that were read by her. And so I didn't have her voice in my head, and the narrator, Kimberly Farr is her name, is very good and does, I mean, there's so many voices. You're over 150 years, maybe, through this. So there's a lot of characters that she has to give different voices to, and she does it very well. Fanny Flagg is always hilarious, but she's also poignant, and I really just love her stories. They aren't always, she doesn't shy away from hard topics, but there's always elements of humor and relationship and family that I appreciate, and so this is definitely in that same genre, that same line of her excellent writing. And yeah, I'm starting to repeat myself, but I'm going to repeat myself one more time on this is a fantastic, there's that word. This is a fantastic epilogue to the Elmwood Springs books. And while I had some issues with things, and while I really want to talk to you about the end, oh man, I wish you were in the room with me and had read the book so we could talk about the end. I have so many thoughts on the end and how things wrap up and the story behind the story. So many thoughts, but I can't because that would definitely ruin things for you. But I really loved that this was a 300-page epilogue to the characters that I loved and the books that I loved set in Elmwood Springs. Gonna wrap things up. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will join me again on Tuesday when I will be speaking with author Owen Sullivan about his latest book, The Money is Green. This is his fourth novel, and he'll be joining me to talk about it and writing and his other novels. So looking forward to that. Please join me on Tuesday. Hope you have had a wonderful week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. As part of that wonderful weekend, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.